Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, chapter 29. In the last parak, a Navi Sheker named Hananya confronts Yirmiyahu and contradicts his nevuah. He breaks the wooden yoke on Yirmiyahu's neck and says that all the people and their possessions will return to Israel in 2 years. His defiance results in a more severe punishment. This parak takes place during the reign of Tzidkiyahu. Yirmiyahu sends a letter to the people who had been exiled from Yerushalayim to Velvel. He addresses Yoyachin, the Gvira, the queen mother, the princes, and the Charash v'Amasker. Yirmiyahu sends this letter with two righteous individuals who come from prominent families, El Asa ben Shaphan from a family of scribes, and Gmaryah ben Chilkiah, who is most likely Yirmiyahu's brother from the family of Kohanim. As we saw in the last parak, people in Bavel were inundated with messages that their situation was temporary. People were also telling them that they were less worthy than those the not exiled. Yirmiyahu addressed the issue of worthiness in the parak Chavdalid, chapter 24, with his mashal about the different baskets of figs. In this parak, he combats the message of the last parak that their stay in Bavel is temporary. Yirmiyahu tells the people that Hashem wants them to, verse 5, binu batim v'shevu, build houses and settle. Enough with living out of suitcases. It's time to unpack. There are no more Airbnbs. Vinitu ganos v'chluas peryon, and plant gardens and eat their fruit. Neighbor planted a vegetable garden with apple trees on the perimeter of the lawn. After 2 years, the vegetable patches are growing, but there's still no fruit. Planting fruit trees means you'll be there for a while. A person may buy a house to save on rent, but when you invest in landscaping, you are not moving. People in Bavel also delayed starting a family because they thought, my kids will move back to Israel and they'll never see them again. Yirmiyahu tells them not to think like that. Verse 6, Kichunashim v'olidu banim uvanus. Get married and have kids. They should also marry off their own children to people living in Bavel and have grandchildren. Yirmiyahu is warning them not to send their kids back to Israel to get married because then they will be killed. Urvusham v'altim atu. Multiply there and don't be less. They should not worry about having a big family and the fact that they're going to need to get resettled in schools and with friends because they are here to stay. The people should also become good citizens of their host country. Verse 7. Dirshu eshlom ha'ir asher higlesi eschem shama. Seek the peace of the city where I've exiled you there. They may want to resent their host countries. After all, they exiled them. Even still, they owe the country some level of hakaras hatov, of gratitude for hosting them. The Torah has a similar command. In Devarim 23, it tells us not to hate Egyptians because we lived in their country and we owe them some level of gratitude for our presence in their land. V'spalalu ba'adza el Hashem ki b'shloma yeh lachem shalom. Pray about it to Hashem because when it has peace, you will have peace. This pasuk tells us that even more than being appreciative, we must actively do something to improve the place we are living. We improve it by contributing our spiritual powers to that place, by praying for the community where we live. This is not completely altruistic, as when there is peace where we live, we benefit too. Yirmiyahu then shares a second message. Hashem tells them not to be fooled by all the charlatans out there and not to be swayed by their own dreams. Dreams, the Malbim says, reflect what a person thinks about during the day. The people are living in a fantasy world, and so their wishful thinking makes them imagine things which won't happen and makes them susceptible to being swindled by any smooth talker who appeals to their fantasies. He promises them that this galus will end, just not anytime soon, that it will end at the completion of 70 years. There are multiple 70-year counts. Parak Chaf Hei refers to 70 years after Nebuchadnezzar was crowned. This parak is talking about 70 years after Nebuchadnezzar conquered Israel in his second year, and that is when Koresh becomes king. In the future, we'll hear about the 70 years from the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash till the next Beis HaMikdash is built. Hashem knows that the people think that this galus is terrible. He tells them, "Ba'kimosi alechem es divari hatov, I will uphold for you my word for the good." Ki anochi yadati es ha-machshavos asher anochi choshev aleichem. I, Hashem says, I know my thoughts that I'm thinking for you. Machshavos shalom velo l'ra'ah. I'm thinking good thoughts, peaceful thoughts, not bad thoughts. Laseis lachem achris v'tikva, so I can give you an end and a hope. This exile seems like Hashem is rejecting those exiled to Bavel, but it's actually for their own good. Sidikiyahu gets to live in Israel, and Yehoyachin had to be uprooted and demeaned in Bavel. But who had it better in the end? Those in Bavel benefited from Galus. The 70 years was the right amount of time to atone for their sins and become humble, so they could return to living in Israel. Hashem also promises those in Galus that he is still connected to them, even though they are not in Hashem's country. Hashem tells them, verse 12, Ukrasimosi, you should call to me. They should reach out to Hashem with humility and a desire to connect, which has been missing in all the years of them living in Yerushalayim. Valachtem, and you should go. They should set up places dedicated to prayer and connection where they could gather. Vispalaltem Eli, and daven to me. Although they no longer have karbanos, there is now an alternate way to connect to Hashem, and that is through the power of prayer. When the Jewish people daven, even if they are galus and are physically distant from the Temple Mount, Vishamati Aleichem, I will listen to you. Hashem will answer our tefillos. Verse 13, Uvikashtemosi, and you should seek me and find me. Yehuda should act like someone who lost something precious and are trying to find it. If they invest in this relationship and try to find ways to connect to Hashem, Umatzasen, you will find me. Hashem will respond in kind. After we go and pray and seek, Hashem will allow himself to be found so that he can answer whatever our souls are looking for. Hashem will redeem us and we will be gathered in from Galus. There is no place too far to bring back a Jewish soul, and it starts with looking for a connection and looking for tefillah. We will come back to Israel on the higher spiritual level than we had before, and will now have a close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who we turn to for all of our needs. Verse 15, Yirmiyahu addresses a different issue. The people said that Hashem had set up prophets for them in Bavel. They think these false prophets are real, and the false prophets in Bavel are telling them that they will return to Israel soon. These false prophets say that the people can bypass the Galus process. The only thing that will help them is their sincere tefillos and changing their behavior by doing tshuva. Next, Yirmiyahu addresses the king and all the people left in Yerushalayim who didn't go out to Galus. Their fate is going to be the opposite of what the Jews in Bavel experienced. They will face the sword, famine, and pestilence. The psukim use familiar phrases about the Chorban, how they will be chased, and people will be horrified with what they see. People will be shocked and will hiss when they think about the extent of the destruction that has befallen Yehuda, and they will call them a curse. This is happening, as we have said before, because they didn't listen to the Nevi'im who were sent so frequently to improve their ways. Now Yirmiyahu turns to those in Galus. They should not follow the path of those in Yerushalayim and listen to false prophets. Yirmiyahu mentions three Nevi'im. Verse 21, the first two are Achav ben Kolaya and Tzidkiyahu ben Maaseiah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin 93b explains the backstory. Achav and Tzidkiyahu had a racket going. In Bavel, Achav and Tzidkiyahu helped each other manipulate women so that they could be intimate with them. This was their scheme. They didn't have stenographers or gender reveal parties, so a woman would come and ask if she was having a boy or a girl. They would give her one answer, a boy. Then they would go to the neighbor and tell the neighbor that really she was having a girl. If a boy was born, they were correct. If a girl was born, the neighbor thought they were correct. With this manipulation, they convinced people they could communicate with Hashem. Then they took their plan to the next step. Achav would approach a man and say he had a prophetic message that could only be told to his wife. Achav would have a private audience with the woman and tell her that Hashem told him that she should be intimate with Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu would tell his targets that the woman should be intimate with Achav. Rabbeinu Bachai says that since the women felt that the men were altruistic and looking out for their friend, they did not suspect them of being liars. Achav and Tzidkiyahu established themselves as holy men while taking advantage of sincere men and women. Eventually, Achav and Tzidkiyahu's arrogance and their appetite for lust grew. Tzidkiyahu approached the wife of Nebuchadnezzar to encourage her to be intimate with Achav. Mrs. Nebuchadnezzar thought this was funny and consulted with her husband first. Nebuchadnezzar was suspicious. He told Achav and Tzidkiyahu that Hashem hates immorality and this could not be a legitimate nevuah. He wanted to give them the classic test of Nevi'im in Bavel, which was to throw them into a furnace, like Nebuchadnezzar had done to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. If they survived, they were legitimate Nevi'im. If not, their death by fire would be proper punishment. Achav and Tzidkiyahu wanted a third Navi with them to parallel Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They chose a legitimate Navi, Yehoshua ben Yehotzadak. Yoshua survived the fire while Achav and Tzidkiyahu were killed. Verse 22. Their name became synonymous with a curse. Yisimcha Hashem kitzidkiyahu Achav asher kala melech Bavel ba'esh. Hashem should make you like Tzidkiyahu and like Achav, whom the king of Bavel burnt in fire. Verse 24. Yirmiyahu then addresses another false Navi in his letter to Bavel, Shemayahu Hanechalami. He is called Hanechalami as he would share his dreams about how those in Bavel were going to return to Yerushalayim. He sent a signed letter from Bavel to Yerushalayim, obviously thinking that he was very important, to Tzfania ben Maaseya, HaKohen, and also to all the Kohanim. In this letter, he tells Tzfania, verse 26, Hashem nesancha Kohen, tachas Yehoyada HaKohen. Hashem made you Kohen in place of Yehoyada the Kohen. Yehoyada was the legitimate Kohen, but Shmayahu told Tzfania he should depose him. Shmayahu also suggested that there should be guards in the Beis HaMikdash, so that l'chol ish meshuga misnabe, for every person that's mad, meaning that they're making themselves a prophet, v'nasata oso el hama peches vel hatzinok, you should put him in the stocks and in handcuffs. Shmayahu was calling every Navi crazy and wanted to put every Navi or every supporter of a Navi in jail. Shmayahu asks, why is Yirmiyahu walking around free if he's saying nevuos that are so negative, that the gullus will be long and that the people should settle in Bavel and make their homes there? The people in Yerushalayim had a level of chutzpah that was unmatched. Tzfania, who's in Yerushalayim and wants to be Kohen Gadol, shares this disrespectful letter with Yirmiyahu. Hashem comes to Yirmiyahu in response to this undermining behavior, where Tzfania reads the letter to the people. Hashem says to send a letter to those in gullus about Shmayahu. Since he said a false nevuah and made others not believe in Hashem, Hashem will punish him and all of his children, that he will not see any good, he will not return back from exile, neither he nor his children. In this parak, we heard Yirmiyahu combating the messages of the false Nevi'im, who said that the gullus would be over soon. Yirmiyahu tells the people to prepare to live in Bavel for 70 years before they return to Israel. Those in Israel will be destroyed. Yirmiyahu shares the story of three false Nevi'im in Bavel who will be punished. The story of Achav and Tzidkiyahu is very instructive and can help us learn to recognize red flags in our own lives. We need to recognize and help our children and our students understand that there will always be people who dress up like holy people, but who really aren't. There have always been and will always be Nevi'i Sheker, false prophets in our midst. But we do have tools to recognize when we are being manipulated. Achav and Tzidkiyahu started by getting a husband's permission to be alone with his wife, which pushed past a small boundary and got away with it. It's important to pay attention if someone tries to bend small rules or social norms. That is a sign that a person should be treated with caution. Another red flag is that Tzidkiyahu and Achav talked to the husband about his wife without her there. Tzidkiyahu and Achav could have just as easily talked to both of them in the presence of each other. An adult tells a child, "Your parent wants you to cooperate and come with me." A friend tells us, "Your sister thinks you should come for Yontif." People should talk to each other directly about issues, and we don't need intermediaries as that allows for manipulation. That's something that we should always tell our children, is that if we have instructions to give them, it should come through us and not through other people. Mrs. Nebuchadnezzar caught them in because she trusted her gut. If something feels off, we and our children should know how to reach out to someone who has earned our trust. Finally, Nebuchadnezzar approached Judaism in a black and white way. He knew Hashem hates immorality. We always see gray. We argue and debate halacha, and we try to judge people favorably and help those we may not like. Black and white thinking does have its place. Some things are objectively bad, and making sure we define them helps protect everyone. We will never be able to prevent abuse and protect everyone from Nevi'i Sheker, who are always going to be trying to infiltrate our community. However, with the tools that Chazal taught us about Achav and Tzidkiyahu, we can help minimize the impact of Nevi'i Sheker and help give our children and ourselves tools to recognize when we are being manipulated and how to protect ourselves. Thank you for studying together, Ligoy Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.